Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Vienna International Airport for the full year results. The presentation will be held by Mr. Ofner, CFO, and Mr. Jäger, COO. The presentation can be downloaded from our homepage. You can find it under the Presentations and Report sections under the Presentation subsection. The presentation will be followed by a Q&A session. It is going to be recorded, and there will be a replay available most probably before Friday. Now I'd like to hand over to Mr. Ofner. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We today published our full year results, 2012. The main message is that we have reached all major targets we set out for 2012. We are glad that this is also reflected in the return of investors' confidence, what we measure also in our share price. Really by chance, but we are glad about it, we met the market capitalization just yesterday of 1 billion euros again. What are the highlights? We could substantially improve the productivity of the company by reducing administrative, operating costs, and financing costs. Despite the opening of our new check-in 3, which adds 150,000 square meters of terminal capacity, we could also reduce our work staff on a year-to-year basis with almost 5%, which contributed to a substantial reduction also in personnel costs. We have successfully started to reduce our net debt position. We have repaid more than 100 million euros on debt and ended up at 720 million. We are fully in line with our midterm target to come down to somewhere 2.5 EBITDA in our net debt position. We can confirm now, after having settled more than 80% of all the invoices, that the cost for check-in 3 finally will stay somewhere below 740. The claims for damage are ongoing. We are trying to settle these claims out of court, and we allow us until late summer to reach a solution outside of court. If this would not work, we will be forced to follow up in court, and we are grounded on firm ground, confident that we will receive additional damage compensation. Based on that, we proposed to our supervisory board yesterday an increase of the dividend from 1 euro last year to 1.05 euro this year, which might be seen as a small increase, but it should show that the company is on a good way. We can confirm our guidance for dividend policy that in average of several years, we will offer 40% of the net income of the company as payout ratio, at least unless we reach our target in regard of net debt. We have also set up our new real estate strategy, which brings about a lot of work for us and new initiatives. The portfolio analysis we did shows that we will de-invest in some parts of our portfolio, and we will strengthen other parts so to optimize the return out of that. If you follow me shortly through the main figures, you will see that we increased our revenue by 25 million euros or 4.4%. This is also highlighting the traffic increase by passengers of 5% last year. Most remarkably, I think we succeeded to increase our EBITDA at 32.4 million, 17.1%, to 221 million, which is fairly above consensus, I think. If you follow down the figures, you see net profit after tax and non-controlling interest ended up at 71.9 million. Following further down the road, you see the net debt position. Gearing went down from 92% to 84.5%, and our cash flow remained at roughly 180 million. We exercised, again, discipline in regard of CapEx and ended up with 101.8 million, which is including roughly 40% rest of check-in three and all other maintenance and building activities of 2012. If you look at the equity, you see an increase of 40 million, and the equity ratio went up to 41.3%, and we hope we can slightly improve this also in the coming years. Despite all the challenges we saw, especially in the first two months of this year, February had only 28 days. We had the harshest winter since two decades. A lot of labor relation unrest in Germany, which affected also Vienna. Despite the rather gloomy figures of January and February, we confirm our figures we set out as a guidance for 2013, which in detail means that we expect 25 million revenue, an increase in EBITDA to at least 230 million, a slight decrease in net profit, but it should in any case be higher than 65 million. If you are curious why you see an increase in EBITDA and a decrease in the net profit, this is reflecting the additional costs, especially in regard of check-in three. We had depreciation in 2012 of 7 months, and we have full year's depreciation in 2013, and the depreciation for check-in three in total will amount to roughly 60 million. You see an effect of somewhere 25 million, a little bit above, out of depreciation. The other effect is that in the first quarter of 2012, we capitalized interest for check-in three in the amount of 5 million euros, which is now additional cost in 2013 because all the interest will be booked as expense. Despite all that, we are optimistic to further deleverage. Our net debt target for 2013 is around 680 million, which would result in the 2.9x net debt position. In regard of our CapEx, we will end up approximately at 115 million. This CapEx contains as the biggest position, the renewal of one of our runways, which is a 20-year event, and the refurbishment now has to be done in April and May 2013, and it amounts roughly to 27 million-28 million euros. Additionally, we are completing our cargo building. We are starting building a new maintenance hangar, and the rest is for new vehicles and maintenance CapEx throughout the company. These are the figures from my side, and I hand over to my colleague, Julian Jäger.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you some more detailed figures regarding our segment results in 2012, starting with the airport segment, which still has more than 50% of our turnover. The main drivers for the growth of 7.8% in 2012 were the passenger numbers, obviously, and the increase in the security fee to €7.70 starting from June last year. The EBIT was 68.5 million, and this was the only area we actually had an increase in employees, both on average and as of the 31st of December, obviously due to the increase in terminal capacity. We added with the new terminal checking 3, 150,000 square meters of terminal area. The handling segment is definitely from the market conditions the most challenging segment. The external revenue decreased in 2012 by 4.2% to €153 million. On the one hand, due to the reduction in aircraft movements, we had a reduction of 0.6%, and on the other hand, because of the new handling contract mainly with Austrian Airlines, where we already gave significantly better conditions to Austrian Airlines starting from mid-year 2012. To counteract those effects, we reduced employees quite significantly, and I think here the employee number as of the 31st of December is more significant than the average number of employees as of end year 2012. We reduced by 5.4%. Obviously, the aircraft movement numbers of this year are not too encouraging. We expect to have at least a reduction of 2.5%. So further reductions of employees will follow this year. The retail and property segment developed very well, mainly due to increases of revenue in parking and retail and gastronomy due to strong passenger growth and the increase in space we have with check-in 3 now. The revenue increased by 8% up to €119 million. The EBIT up to 41.6 million. And the number of employees, although from a low level, was further reduced by 14.5%. We expect in this field to increase our revenue per passenger again in 2013. For the retail and gastronomy, we had in 2012 a revenue per passenger of €1.90. We expect this figure to grow in 2013 up to €2.10, roughly. The other segment, this is not a very important one, so the only thing I would like to highlight here as well is the staff costs. Here, again, we had a reduction of employees by 8.2% as of the end year, 2012, and on average a minus of 5.2%. A few words to our foreign investments. Malta International Airport developed very well, an increase in passenger numbers by 4.1%, increase in net profit by 9.6%, excellent EBITDA and EBIT margins, although they don't have a handling unit themselves, so one can't compare the margins. Košice, despite the significant reduction in passenger numbers, I think a net profit of 1.4 million with less than 240,000 passengers is a good result. Obviously, we already had to impair this investment last year due to the fact that expectations when this airport was bought, I think in 2006, were significantly higher. And 3,000 is written off anyway, but the development is again a negative one, still a negative EBIT. Um, forecast for 2013 was in January that passenger numbers increase between 1 and 2%, a reduction in movements from minus 1.5 to 2.5%, and a roughly stable MTOW. As you know, this is based on an excellent year in 2012. We were growing significantly above the European average with 5% passenger growth and significantly more than Munich, Frankfurt, and Zurich. Obviously, the first 2 months of this year with, as Günther Ofen already mentioned, strikes in Germany, very bad weather conditions in Austria, the day we missed in February showed quite a reduction, especially in aircraft movements. Still, we are very optimistic to reach our passenger target, and probably the movements will be definitely on the lower end of our estimate from January. But again, I think the encouraging fact is that the load factors of our main carriers, Austrian Airlines and Niki, are significantly better than they used to be last year. So far, roughly 4 percentage points. And I think from a medium-term perspective, especially the good development of Austrian Airlines gives us a lot of reason to be optimistic. Just a few details on our summer and winter flight plan. Austrian is starting Chicago, which as such is not a major change, but I think what is important, especially for the midterm development and the long-haul development of Austrian Airlines, this is very important that Chicago actually works and gives positive results. If Chicago works and if they deliver positive results, overall in 2013, we are optimistic that they will get the approval to buy 2 to 4 777. In general, I think where we have a lot of room for growth is still long haul. In winter, there will be one additional long haul destination, Mombasa. But overall, I think this just reflects that from a traffic perspective, the outlook is rather flat. And slightly positive from a passenger perspective. Yeah, to come to an end, a few news on shopping and gastronomy. The retail side, 85% of our space for shops are right now in operation. The rest is, on the one hand, still signed contracts for 5% of the space, and the remaining 10%. In the final stages of negotiation, so all the other contracts will be signed in the next 1 or 2 months, and by summer we should have all our shops open and running, which should then give us some room for growth here in 2014. That's it from our end so far.
So that would be the time now for your questions. We are happy to answer them.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question. We will pause for a moment to allow everybody to signal. We will take our first question from Daniel Riedel of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good afternoon, everyone. Three questions, please. On retail spend, if my calculations are correct, I think on the fourth quarter you saw retail spend per passenger up around 5%, and I think this compares to up 11% in the third quarter, so I was wondering why the slowdown. My second question is on ground handling. You did a 15% EBITDA margin in 2012, and you mentioned that the outlook is challenging. Do you think this margin is sustainable, especially given you mentioned that there might be some revenue pressure? I'm wondering whether what you can do on the cost side can actually offset the top-line pressure. And finally, on the outlook for capacity, some databases are showing that Nike is cutting seat capacity significantly in the summer. Air Berlin is also cutting capacity in Austria and is growing slightly. Is this also what you are seeing? Thanks.
Maybe to start with your last question, we don't see capacity cuts of Nike in summer. I think Nike has significant capacity cuts in winter, and this is what we feel right now, that they cut out their flights to Belgrade, Sofia, and Bucharest. For summer, we expect Nike to actually grow, and what Air Berlin has decided to run their Greece hub now in Vienna, it used to be in Nuremberg. So I think the strategy of Air Berlin for Nike is to focus more on the touristic destinations, so there will be more seasonality. But I don't see capacity cuts for this summer. Actually, they will change their Embraer with 220, so there should be more seat capacity, and I'm quite optimistic that we will see grow summer and shrink in winter. Regarding ground handling, yes, the outlook is challenging. I think the margins we delivered in 2012 are good margins, even if you compare them with a lot of other ground handling agents. But I agree with you, the outlook for the next few years will be challenging, and I think there's still some room for improvement from the cost side. So this is something we are approaching right now. But on the long run, obviously, we need some increase in movements as well to sustain those margins. But again, I think from today's point of view, they are very they are good and absolutely acceptable. Regarding. I'm not sure if you meant the exodus, the retail spend, or the retail revenues, because I think overall the retail revenues increased by 12.9%, and as I told you already, from the 190 per passenger to the 210 per passenger is again roughly an increase by 10%. So we're optimistic to be in a position to increase our revenues per passenger. Probably you're referring to the actual turnover. So it's true that mainly the increase in revenue is coming from better conditions we've negotiated with the shops, and this is a trend which continues with every new contract. So we are in a position that we have significantly better revenues from the individual shops, and from every euro spent, our share is significantly higher than it used to be in the past. What you mustn't forget that in the last quarter of last year, we had a lot of shops still closed, and that's I think the main reason why we had this decrease.
All right, thank you.
Our next question comes from Andy Jones of RBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just had three questions, really. The labour costs, the year-on-year reduction in Q4 is obviously quite a lot steeper than we've seen in any other quarter this year. What were the moving parts behind this? Was it all headcount, or were there any kind of accounting measures like provision releases, etc., etc.? And how should we think about modelling the FTE into the next year? And I appreciate that you did your headcount reductions quite late in this year, but what kind of effect should we expect in the following year? The second question is on the compensation claims around check-in 3. In your press release, you noted that there's been 21 million of claims recognised. How have they all been accounted for, and how would you expect to account for future claims that you might have? And then finally, on the ground handling side of things, do you think that you need to have a ground handling operation, or do you, is there any reason why you couldn't outsource that entirely? Thank you.
Thank you. Starting with the labor cost, it's mainly headcount, but there are also other elements where we cut costs. Full-time equivalents, you are right in assuming that the starting point in 13 is the low end of 12. And throughout 13, we expect some additional cuts, but definitely not in the same speed as it was done before. And what I would like to remind you is that we agreed with our trade unions in a one-off payment, which was already made in November 12th. And full year 13 and the first 4 months of 14, we will have no collective agreement increase of our wages. So only the incremental costs of roughly 1.5% will be added to personal costs also in this period. So this gives us additional relief for 13 and mainly the first quarter in 14. Regarding the compensation claims, 17 out of the 21 are already visible in our books. Roughly 4 million are somewhere parked because it's still disputed, and this is part of the out-of-court settlement we are discussing now. And what we will, what we are claiming additionally is to be added to this sum. I mean, I don't want to speculate right now what we really can expect, but I think our chances are not too bad that we will receive additional compensation.
Yeah, regarding your ground handling question, I think the ground handling unit is very fundamental in delivering the quality as a hub as we are delivering today. We are always amongst the top three hubs in Europe in terms of punctuality, lost luggage. So I think our ground handling unit is very important to deliver that. I think this is appreciated as well by our main customers, and that's why we managed to secure a 7-year contract with Austrian Airlines. But on the other hand, obviously, we would not rule out on the mid-term to long-term to sort out ground handling if we don't manage to deliver good margins in the future. We are still optimistic that we manage to control our costs in ground handling, but if we don't, and if the margins are going significantly down, yes, this would be an option, but not today.
Okay, thank you. Very clear.
Our next question comes from Andrew Lace of Citi. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, good afternoon. Two questions, please. First of all, on your EBITDA achievement of 221, I think back in January you were seeing around 200 or so, or more than 200. I was just wondering, from your point of view, where the results were better than expected by division. And then secondly, you've given us some CapEx guidance of, I think, 115 million for this year. What would you expect it to be in 2014 and 2015, especially given your kind of ramp up for your real estate activities?
Yeah, starting with your second question, we confirm our 590 million guidance for the period 11 to 15. So our, let me say, normal activities should be within this framework. Our real estate activities, especially the building of a new hotel, is yet not decided in which way we will go forward. We have received roughly 1,000 interesting parties so far, and we are open to investors and companies who are running the hotel, and we are also open to do the investment on ourselves, and the solution and the chosen option will be done based on the optimization of our return. So whatever promises us a better return, we will do. But from the CAPEX side, it will in any case, even if we would decide to be invested on our own, sold later on, because we are not planning to hold it for a substantial period of time. And if we would invest, it would be, from today's perspective, below 20 million. The gains in EBITDA, I think, are over the board. So this reflects mainly cost-cutting successes, from labor costs to all other positions. And you see the difference that the turnover revenue increased by 25 and EBITDA increased by 32. So this shows the ability to sustainably cut costs. And it's sustainable. So if your question is directed, are these one-offs or specific effects, that's not the case. I think most of it is sustainable.
Okay, thanks. So based on your 590 CapEx guidance for 2015, would I be right in saying that given what you've spent so far and what you intend to spend this year, that the balance is about 110 million euros for 2014-2015, so 50-60 a year?
Yeah, I mean, let's see once we finished 13 what exactly the CapEx will be, and then you can divide the rest, and more or less in this range we will end up.
Right. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Bernd Maurer of RCD. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Bernd Maurer, Raiffeisen on the phone. One follow-up to the real estate strategy. Most of my points have already been answered, but when do you think is the first priority currently the hotel, or
yes.
do you see also to come up, you said last time, in the summer months with information on the business park with the cargo hub and the hotel and so on? Do you think to announce this step by step, or to make a bigger announcement in this case?
From today's perspective, in regard of timetable, I would assume that late summer, early autumn, we will have a short list of interested parties for the HOPU project, and we'll enter then in final negotiations. And it should be operational, if possible, around 16, maybe beginning 17. The logistic park, 14-hectare land, if there are enough interested parties, could be sold more or less overnight. And we are just offering it to the market. If we enter into a joint venture, then only the joint venture portion we give to third parties will be sold. But I think the decision which of these options we will follow should also be made this year. I think more tricky is the investment in Cargo North, because we are not under pressure in any form. So given the current market conditions, maybe it would be a little bit premature to put too much pressure now to put it on the market. So we will look for interested parties, and we will then choose the right moment when market conditions are okay to maybe sell parts of it. But this I would see within the next 3 years maybe.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Hofmann.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
We will now take a question from Joe Thomas of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Most of the things have been answered, but a couple of points. Could you just clarify once again the dividend policy? I think you said that 40% of net profits would be paid out, and given that net profits, I think, are expected to drop this year, does that mean that we should be expecting a cut in the dividend? And then the second thing is on the retail spend, the retail revenue per passenger. I think you said you're up to €2 now. Where do you see that settling once all the contracts have been signed and the space is fully utilized on check-in 3? Thanks.
Starting with your first question, if you see that we had the payout ratio last year of roughly 66%, it's this year somewhere at 30. So averaged to 40, it would allow us, even with a net profit of 65 next year, to have at least a stable dividend. And without any firm confirmation of anything, from today's perspective, I would not see arguments that would advise us to reduce dividend in the following year. I mean, what we promised to investors is that we will have a sustainable dividend policy. So I would not think that there are good reasons to expect that the dividend next year will be lower, given that we reach our financial targets as set out in our outlook.
Regarding the second question, our assumption is that we will reach roughly €2.10 this year, and obviously there should be again then a significant increase in 2014, but I think it's too early to give a detailed guidance on 2014.
Thank you. And can I just sort of circle back onto one of the questions that was asked earlier about the summer flight schedule? I've also seen similar numbers indicating quite large capacity cuts at Vienna this summer. Could you just add a little bit more colour onto the conversations that you've had with your airline partners? Have Niki, Air Berlin, for example, explicitly said that they aren't intending to cut any further capacity at Vienna?
I mean, we had very detailed discussions very recently with Air Berlin and Niki, and yes, we're seeing right now very significant reductions in capacity of Niki and Air Berlin, and we're seeing, I would say, modest reductions of Austrian. I think the situation with Austrian will more or less remain the same. I think there will be cuts throughout the year, but I think they still will deliver positive passenger results due to significant increases in the average load factor. And the discussions we had with Niki and Air Berlin, clearly the statement of Air Berlin and Niki is that in summer we will see an increase in passenger numbers, and I don't think there will be significant reductions in passenger movements from Niki and Air Berlin over the summer months because of the concentration on the touristic destinations. But I'm not happy with the strategic decisions Air Berlin has taken in the last few months. So we feel that Niki would have much more potential within the Air Berlin group, and if you take the overall, I would say, very challenging cost situation within Air Berlin with taking over LTU and then taking over those collective agreements, we feel that Niki should be used much more with their really, really lean cost situation and there should be actually, I think there would be a lot of potential to grow for Niki here in Vienna, but I think Air Berlin has a lot of union issues and obviously this is one of the reasons why they don't put more capacity here to Vienna. But the message we got very clearly is that there will be 23 planes in operation in summer in Vienna, and with at least some of the Embraer changed to the 320, so there should be more seat capacity here on the market.
Okay, thank you.
We'll now take a question from Damien Brewer of RBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the question. Two, please. I'm just wondering, first of all, in terms of the business, airline increased seasonality seems here to stay in terms of less winter capacity and a pullback to growth in the summer, and what you're saying about Air Berlin, et cetera, seems to mirror that. In terms of your cost base, do you think you're optimized now for an increasingly seasonal business, or do you think there's more that you can do with the way the airport operates to try and match winter costs to lower volumes? And then the second question, which I'll do them all at once, revolves around retail, and I guess it's really two small parts to that. First of all, on the 15% of the retail space left to fill, is that more peripheral or is it the same quality as what's been filled already? And in terms of the products that are likely to go into it, is it a similar concession fee type product, or is that remaining 15% likely to generate lower MUG returns than you're seeing on average for the existing 85% filled? And then in the theme of sort of retail space, I remember going back a year, there was talk about sort of developing maybe sort of more the land side shopping potential of the business around the terminal sort of infrastructure. Has there been any further developments on that, or has that gone quiet for now?
To start with your second question, the quality of the retail space, I would say, is a bit lower than the space we have filled right now. We are talking about some areas in check-in 3, but the big bulk of the empty shops right now is in the old part of the terminal. We will do some improvements there in respect of passenger flow. So we will centralize the passenger flow and build a kind of walk-through duty-free shop. The duty-free shop now is in operation, but with the walk-through we expect an increase in penetration and sales per passenger. The rest of the shops is mainly fashion, jewelry, and souvenirs. So the average margin obviously would be lower than from the duty-free shop, but still something in percentages between, I would say, 15 to 23. So roughly that would be the margins we would, or the revenues percentages we would get from those shops. Regarding land side, we haven't stalled these discussions, but the main focus in the last few months was to develop a proper airside shopping, and I think there's still a lot of potential in the coming years, mainly in connection with our Terminal 2 project. Terminal 2 is in the center of the airport. It's between check-in 3, between the new part and the old part, and I think it's very fundamental to develop a good plan what to do with Terminal 2, and all the discussions regarding additional lane-side retail space would be part of this project as well.
Okay, understood.
First question,
thank you.
Seasonality, I guess.
Yes.
To be perfectly honest, I think we have to go into more detail, but in general, I think the seasonality in Vienna is relatively low. So I think compared with a lot of other airports, it's not that seasonal. Agreed, it will become more seasonal definitely this year, and we are trying to cut costs and headcount wherever possible. But I don't think that we would need anywhere additional staff to cater for the increase in the summer months, maybe with the exemption of handling. But in handling, I think we have a very good system where we anyway cater for the seasonality with seasonal workers in the summer, which we don't employ in winter. So I think in handling, we do this anyway. And for the rest of the company, I think the actual impact of passenger numbers on the headcount is relatively minimal, because even in the terminal, we don't need more or less terminal guys if we have 5 or 10% passengers more or less. So I think the most of it is fixed, and there's relatively little we can do. I think where we still have some potential to cut costs, but this is nothing we can do on the short run, is security. We still have decentralized security in Pier East, but it may take at least 2 or 3 years until we do the structural and the construction changes in Pier East to be in a position to separate the arriving from the departing passengers. So I think there's a significant cost reduction possible with the centralized security there, but this is something which will take a bit.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
We have no further questions in the queue at this time.
In this case, I would like to conclude the conference call for today. Should you have any other questions arising, please feel free to get back to us. And I'd like to thank you for your participation. Thank you for the presentation, gentlemen.
Thank you for your interest. Good afternoon.